Today is Friday, March 5th. We have an update on the status of that massive COVID-19 relief bill that would give more direct payments to Americans. There will now be days of debate over it, what both sides are saying. Also, the chaos caused by a history-making earthquake near New Zealand. Plus, explaining NFTs in the music industry. Yet another new streaming service is now available and giving people around the country an excuse to unplug today. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The U.S. Senate is forging ahead with the latest massive COVID-19 relief package, and it's on track to become law as soon as next week, even though Republicans are not happy about this. Before the full debate even started, the Senate held what Politico is calling a test vote to see if they should even bother with debate. To that, every Republican voted no. But Democrats said yes, and that's all it took for the bill to move forward. The process, though, is pretty tedious. First up, one Republican senator asked the clerk to read the entire package out loud, all 628 pages of it. That went on for hours yesterday and continues today. Once that's done, both parties have up to 10 hours each to explain why they're for or against the aid package. Already, the Senate has made some changes to the bill since it passed in the House. It took out the national minimum wage increase, and it added billions for more education, including after-school programs and technology for schools. Also under this Senate bill, fewer Americans are now eligible for those direct payments. If it becomes law, everyone who makes less than $75,000 will still get the full $1,400. After that, the payment amount was always going to get smaller. But now, people who make more than $80,000 and couples who make $160,000 together will not get anything. Still, most of the bill has stayed the same, including a $400 a week unemployment bonus, extra money for state and local governments, funding for vaccine distribution, and more. Democrats say it's all needed for Americans to recover from the effects of the pandemic, and they point to polls that show most Americans support it. One released this week from Monmouth University found 62% of Americans support the measure. But here's the issue. Republicans say the overall size of the bill is just too big. And even though most everyone agrees some of the package is important, Republicans also say it includes other partisan issues that are either wasteful or unnecessary. Now, some Republican lawmakers want to make sure the world hears their side of things. They're threatening to introduce hundreds of amendments just to highlight the parts of the bill they don't like. And each one of those amendments will have to be voted on. It's a process called Votorama. Either way, Democrats are still hoping to approve the whole thing soon. Then the bill would have to head back to the House and pass there again to show House lawmakers are okay with the Senate's changes. And if the aid package survives all that, it would then go to President Biden, who would likely sign it into law. Stay tuned. So you've probably had a fever check in the past year before going into a public place. Schools, workplaces, and other public venues have started using temperature scanning devices to look for people who might have COVID-19. But some new research is casting doubt on the accuracy of some of those devices. The Washington Post cites the surveillance research organization called IPVM, which found some of those tools may actually be ineffective. In fact, the FDA has now put out a public alert warning that improper use of certain thermal imaging devices could mean they're not only inaccurate, but also potentially a serious public health risk, giving people a false sense of security. The federal agency is even sending warning letters to some of the companies who make them for selling unauthorized equipment. But the companies are pushing back. They argue the devices are not inaccurate. Instead, they adapt to their environment. So, for example, if it's a hot summer day, the technology will avoid alerting every customer of a fever just because it's hot outside. Either way, the devices will not be catching everyone with COVID-19, no matter what. The CDC has said 40% of people infected will not actually have a fever anyway. Well, thankfully, Capitol Hill was quiet yesterday on a day that was supposed to be a big deal for QAnon conspiracy theorists. Remember, intelligence officials and Capitol Police were concerned about some online threats that said there was a plan to storm the Capitol once again. But there was no real-world violence reported. Still, law enforcement officials say it's too soon to scale back security. In fact, the U.S. Capitol Police requested National Guard troops stay even longer than planned. For now, there are still more than 5,000 Guard members in Washington, D.C., and they've been there since January, but they're supposed to go home just 1 week from today. Now, the leader of the Capitol Police says at least some of them should stay another couple of months, and defense officials say they're reviewing the request. It's being called one of the strongest earthquakes to hit the South Pacific in modern history. An 8.1 magnitude quake hit near the coast of New Zealand. One earthquake expert told the AP, quote, "This is about as big as it gets." And that was actually the third extremely powerful earthquake to hit that same area in just a matter of hours. But here's what's amazing about all of this. So far, there have been no reports of injuries or major damage. People still dealt with quite a bit of chaos, though. Thousands of New Zealanders were told to evacuate after the earthquakes because a tsunami warning was issued. There were huge traffic jams as people scrambled to get to higher ground. But now they're finally allowed to go home. The warnings have been lifted. By the way, the quakes also triggered tsunami watches as far away as Latin America and Hawaii. But as of today, those areas have also been given the all clear. All right, we have much more news coming up, but first, thanks to our sponsor, Noom. Look, I'm not a fan of fad diets or get fit fast trends that just aren't very realistic. Well, Noom does not like that stuff either. Instead, Noom says it's based in psychology and wants to give you more knowledge so you can accomplish your personal health goals and stick with them in the long term. And Noom is clear that it's not just about losing weight. It's about a lifestyle and being able to replace your habits with healthier habits. In fact, more than 80% of Noomers finish the program, and more than 60% have stuck with their goals for at least 1 year. Noom is forgiving, too, because they know we're all human. If you go off track a day, no worries, you can get back on track the next day. So if you want to try it out, you can sign up for your trial today at Noom, N-O-O-M, Noom.com/newsworthy. Noom wants you to know there's a science to getting healthier. So again, sign up for your trial at Noom, N-O-O-M, Noom.com/newsworthy. If you want to learn how to live healthier, check out Noom at Noom.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to the news. For the first time, a new major album is being released in the form of an NFT. It's coming from the rock group Kings of Leon. So here's what this all means. NFT stands for non-fungible token, and it's a type of cryptocurrency. The biggest thing to know about these is they're all unique. So if you trade a dollar for another dollar, you have exactly the same thing, right? But if you were to trade one baseball card for another, you have a totally different card with a different player on it. Well, that's what having an NFT is like. But instead of baseball cards, of course, we're talking about digital assets like art, music, videos, and more. And their value could change. As CNBC reports, NFTs have exploded in popularity lately since people see them as a modern way to collect and trade digital art. As for Kings of Leon, their new album, When You See Yourself, was released today, but you can only get it in an NFT package. You'll get the vinyl and a digital download for a $50 token. It will only be available for 2 weeks, though, and after that, no more will be made, so you'd have to trade for it. The NBA All-Star Game is set for this Sunday. The exhibition game features 24 of the league's most celebrated players. LeBron James and Kevin Durant are leading the way. They're both the team captains, although Durant won't actually get to play himself since he's injured. Of course, this year's All-Star events will have a different vibe than most years. Only players' personal guests will be in the stands, so no fans. Also, usually, All-Star Weekend takes up 3 days, full of the slam dunk contest, three-point contest, and more, along with the big game. Well, this year, everything is going to be crammed into Sunday. One more note on the All-Star Game. For the first time, the referee crew will be made up entirely of graduates from historically black colleges and universities. All-Star Weekend will also feature performances and other content by HBCU musical groups, students, and distinguished alumni. You now have another streaming platform to choose from. Paramount Plus went live this week. The new streaming service replaces what used to be CBS All Access. But it's not just the name that's changing. Viacom CBS says it'll go from spending $1 billion a year on streaming to at least $5 billion by 2024. And this year alone, Paramount Plus will introduce 36 original shows. That includes Star Trek Discovery, a spinoff of the news program 60 Minutes, and a reboot of MTV's The Real World, just to name a few. It will cost $5 a month with ads and $10 for the ad-free version. Jay-Z just struck a multi-million dollar deal with the Twitter and Square CEO, Jack Dorsey. Dorsey's payment platform, Square, agreed to buy a majority stake in Jay-Z's music streaming service, Tidal. The deal reportedly cost $297 million in cash and stock. Now, Dorsey says Square will be able to help artists make more money on Tidal. And he says he wants to develop new listening experiences to bring fans closer together. Jay-Z will also be joining Square's board of directors. Today is the National Day of Unplugging. It's the day every year when digital wellness advocates ask people to step away from technology, ideally for 24 hours. Though people behind the campaign say even 1 hour would be worthwhile. They say it's a good excuse to put down your phone or computer, take a break from social media, or simply turn off the TV. People are encouraged to get outdoors instead or play board games, connect with loved ones, or just relax and reflect. The hope is this will inspire people to find a better life-tech balance overall. The National Day of Unplugging has been going on for more than a decade now, and thousands of people participate each year. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Feel Good Friday, when we bring you one extra feel-good or positive news story before the weekend. But first, this episode is made possible thanks to Blue Blocks. Blue Blocks offers fashionable and science-backed blue light glasses to help you beat digital eye strain, headaches, and improve sleep, all with style and comfort. In fact, Blue Blocks offers 3 different types of lenses, 1 sleep mask, and 2 light bulbs, each with their own function and purpose. One is called the Summer Glow Lens. It's a yellow lens that combines blue light blocking and color therapy, designed for daytime use when you're working under artificial lighting and for those who suffer from anxiety or seasonal affective disorder. Of course, Blue Blocks also has their Clear Lens or their Sleep Plus Lens made for working at night. And they're all available with or without a prescription. And by the way, Blue Blocks is the only blue light glasses company who has a charity partnership. For each pair of Blue Blocks glasses sold, they donate a pair of reading glasses to someone who could otherwise not afford it. So go to blueblocks.com/newsworthy to learn more about all their options and styles and get 20% off your order. Again, that's Blue Blocks, spelled BLUBLOX, blueblocks.com/newsworthy. blueblocks.com/newsworthy to get 20% off your order. Okay, now back to Feel Good Friday. Today, we're talking about how Atlanta created what's believed to be the nation's largest free food forest. The Conservation Fund bought an abandoned lot in the middle of the city a few years ago. Now, thanks to grant money and help from other organizations, it's giving a lot of people free, healthy food and teaching them about agriculture. Parks workers and more than 1,000 volunteers are now growing pesticide-free fruits, vegetables, nuts, and honey. The food then goes to underserved people in that area. Gardening and cooking classes are held there as well to teach people about healthy food, and this is definitely something that's needed. The USDA found people in this area of Atlanta are living in what's called a food desert. The nearest grocery store is a 30-minute bus ride away. So this has been a huge help. And Modern Farmer says there are more than 70 other free food forests that have been planted across the U.S. doing good for other communities too. All right, thank you so much for listening today. We'll be back with our special edition Saturday episode tomorrow, marking 1 year since the pandemic was first declared. And then another news roundup on Monday. Until then, have a great day.